You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, and it is episode 255. Well, we have got a jam-packed show for you today, listeners, and we have a full house. I'm going to start by catching up with everybody because it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke. I'm going to start with you, Rob Burke. How is life in lockdown treating you?
It's good. It's busy, but at the same time, I've got lots of time with my kids and my superior wife and all the things that
she's had you in good happy. Training, I see.
Yes, she's the only reason I have accomplished anything in life. So
I can snip that little bit of the podcast and you can have it as a text message alert or something if you like.
That's fair. Thank you.
Max, obviously life is pretty different at the moment for you. You'd normally be on the road. Is it quite nice to have some time at home?
It is nice to have some time at home. We've just moved house, so that actually the timing has been good. But because I'm a freelance contractor and freelance groom, it's trying to figure out how to pay the bills is going to be coming a little bit tricky coming up pretty soon. So just trying to get a handle on all that. But other than that, you know, being in North Central Florida, where the weather's been good and everything, it's not been too terrible for us down here, being inside. And you know, my only child is my dog, so it hasn't been too terrible. I'm feeling pretty lucky.
I have to admit, I really do feel you on the freelance life, because it's a funny old place to be at the moment, and fairly tough at times as well. Now, it has been a fairly manic few weeks decorating's. But everything is good in Ireland, I think, for you work-wise at the moment. Busy times.
Yeah, I think it would be a bit of a stretch to say it was good.
I was kind of looking on the bright side of life then, and then I was
looking on the bright side is actually something very, well, it's very important at the moment. And then doing it in the right sense is something that I think, I'm sure we'll come on the pod this evening, but, you know, it's been a little bit of a learning for all of us in terms of how we all communicate at this time. We're all communicating online. We're all communicating remotely. But I think certainly from an ECHA ratings point of view, what we've been trying to be really aware of is that, you know, having a level of distraction and a level of kind of light entertainment can be important. But then you've always got to try and keep that balanced with recognizing that not everybody who's listening or watching at that moment is in that exact same place at that time. So I think, you know, it's the first time, look, that we've ever had to deal with something like this as a business, for our business. I know it's the same for almost all of us, or certainly it is for all of us. So a learning time, a new time, and yeah, we're trying to look on the positive, but we're feeling our way through. Everyone's healthy, thank God. So that's the main thing for now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things I'm finding is one day is pretty good and you kind of think, yeah, we've got this, we get through it. And then the next day you think, oh my God, what the hell is happening? Exactly. I had one of those days today, actually. So I have to admit, I'm going to enjoy sitting down, talking to you guys. And just kind of actually, I think this whole talking about it is really important, because otherwise it's very easy to feel like you're alone in your little bubble and actually there's so much else going on there. But because we don't see it as we would normally, it's easy to forget that it's happening. Now, we have actually got a very special guest on the show this evening. We are going to pick his brains a little bit later on, but I'm going to welcome him first because he's a man I'm really looking forward to talking to. Jonathan Elliott, who is on not only the USEA Board of Governors, but he's the Vice President of Competitions. He is the organizer's representative as well. Jonathan, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I have to admit, listeners, the dedication, because when we first started this call, Jonathan's line was a little bit crackly. So the poor chap has been sent out to his garden to use the better reception. So thank you.
Yeah, it's preferred here outside. It's actually about 65 degrees and sunny, and I can have a great view of Mount Rainier from our house, so I prefer to be outside. Thank you.
And you're over on the West Coast, aren't you? You're in Washington.
Yeah, I'm in Washington State, about an hour and a half south of Seattle. I'm just outside of Olympia.
So how is life with you at the moment?
Yeah, you know, we kind of joke a little bit at this point that we're just having another quiet day at the farm, because we are on lockdown in Washington State, and we'll be through, the beginning of May, the 4th of May, I believe. And we have three young children, and so they're keeping us quite active. We've got lots of projects going on, quite a chicken coop being constructed at the moment, which they're having fun with. So it is, it's nice to be able to get some of the odds and ends and projects done around the farm, but there are those kind of stir crazy days as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If all else fails, Jonathan, the children can go in the chicken coop.
Exactly.
I mean, if you just need long-term 5 minutes, please.
Exactly. No, they're all coping with it really, really quite well, actually. And having a bit of fun. So it's great to have them, and it's fun to spend a little more time than normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is one of those things at the moment, isn't it? Everybody is very much sort of foot on the brake and kind of actually appreciating what they have got at home. Now, I mean, at the moment, the word on everybody's tip of their tongue is what is happening in terms of the competition season and the eventing season and everything like that. And ultimately, we don't know just yet. So I'm going to come on to ask you about that in a little while. But Rob, I'm going to come to you first, actually, because we don't know where the situation is going and how quickly it will sort of head back towards some sort of semblance of normality. How are things within the USEA at the moment? Because obviously everybody is where they can working from home, but set up to do that. And actually, to a degree, you guys must all still be scrambling to make sure that the moment you get that green light, you're ready to go.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I'm not going to steal Jonathan's thunder with some of that, but from really at the outset of this pandemic, we quickly started to formulate a plan on how to get events up and running again, how to plan to reschedule events that are canceled. And in some areas of the country, that's going to be a lot easier than in other areas of the country. And for the most part, yeah, it's just planning for and putting in place a process so that when we finally have a green light, we can just jumpstart really, really quickly. And you know, it's keeping us busy. And Jonathan is like the absolute workhorse. He's a saint. He goes on multiple calls, like
I will
constantly,
second that.
And he keeps us all in line. And you know, he just keeps us all moving forward with this process. So big thanks to him.
Well, in that case, Jonathan, talk to us about what it entails at the moment, because I've absolutely no doubt that it's a mammoth task, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the initial few weeks, it was kind of hard to count how many emergency phone calls we had, trying to see what was going to happen. And there's so much unknown in all of this. And really, I think that's the takeaway that it boils down to is nobody has a crystal ball to know. But like Rob said, we could define how we're going to handle it whenever that green light comes. And I think we've got good progress on that to kind of shorten the normal review process, which would normally start like 240 days ahead of something. We kind of boiled it down to 16 days to try and be as nimble as possible to help those events that had to postpone or cancel because of this pandemic to get back on the calendar if, you know, and when it's possible for them to do so.
So is that 16 days to sort of get people back in the calendar that events have been missed?
Yeah, the events that have been missed. And we also, so a couple of things happen. Normally the USEF, if they have an application that comes in, they need to process that within 30 days. And so we've asked to extend that, to hold it, because I think what would frustrate and be tough on a lot of competitors and organizers would be to pick an arbitrary date and say, oh, this is when we should be able to go, and then have to maybe go through that rescheduling process multiple times. my hope was to wait as long as reasonably possible to know when that green light might come, or at least have some confidence in the date we choose, which personally I feel at the moment is really hard to say for any date in 2020 at the moment. I think now that, you know, the cases are kind of peaking, and some indications are in the U.S. and we start to maybe get on the backside of this, then the modeling and all that you hear about is could be more accurate and could give us some sort of a green light at the end of the road to maybe get these guys back on the calendar. And I guess I keep a lot of caution in how I think about it, because I think that's personally the best way to go about it, is to kind of have a pretty good game plan in place and then execute it once we have a bit more confidence in when it's safe and adequate for people to get out and compete their horses again and do what we love.
I think that's one of the most difficult things. I know we've said it before, is there is no date. It's not like people say, oh, 1st of June, it will be gone, or the 1st of September, or no, we're not doing anything until 2021, because nobody knows. It is that how long is a piece of string sort of question. And I think actually it's a really solid plan to kind of hold off as long as you can so that you have the best possible chance of making sure that everything happens as seamlessly as it can, rather than sort of give people false hope or cause people even more work in trying to reschedule when actually it just physically isn't going to be possible. And actually some of these decisions are outside of any of our hands, are outside of the USEA's hands, the USEF. Yeah. They are very much at a state government level. And therefore you've kind of got to be guided by them, and that might change throughout the country as well. So in terms of the current situation, am I right in saying that all competition is suspended until, is it the beginning of May officially?
The 3rd of May, yeah.
3rd of May. Okay. So from there, how long do you think, in terms of people planning or anything like that, are there any plans in place to reassess just before that date, or is it just a case of wait and see?
Yeah, my understanding is, as the USEF did in USEA, when the original deadlines were upcoming, they started to look at that roughly, say, a week ahead of it, to make a determination whether that deadline that's been put currently now, it's the 3rd of May, whether that's realistic or whether that will need to be extended, which is hard for those events, I think, that are, you know, on the cusp, that might be able to run, might be at the end of May, might be in early June, you know, and that's where the people that are on the fence, it puts them in a hard situation.
And I'll jump in there and say, and Nicole, you touched on it too, and Jonathan did. I mean, it's so regional, right? So we have 50 states, and each one of them have a different rule and procedure. So, you know, I mean, if I'm a betting man, I would bet that certain areas of the country might start up a little earlier than others. But right now, unfortunately, we don't know that date. So we're locked into early May. Our board of governors will meet at the end of this month, before that, to reassess and discuss, you know, what it looks like regionally, what the USCF has done, what the numbers are looking like, and get a better gauge. But, you know, I would be just take a cautious approach for anybody who's planning an event. And I mean, as you know, I mean, there's so much to this. There's opening up entries so that you can collect them. There's the process of a refund period. There's all these aspects of running the competition that you have to fold into that timeline from when we finally have that green light.
And actually, this is where I think, Jonathan, your other sort of hat comes into play, because you're a volunteer who gives your time willingly to do actually really quite in-depth and important roles. But actually, you run horse trials, Aspen Farms horse trials, which is a really popular event. You run up to Advance twice a year, and you are one of those organizers in June that actually doesn't know at the moment whether you should be getting your courses ready, whether you should be making preparations. And obviously, if you're investing in your event at this moment, you don't actually know if it can go ahead. How is that from that side of things as well? Because that's equally difficult.
Oh, for sure. And it's, you know, and I think the other hard thing is, you know, I've been kind of thinking through it, is the, we, I'm in the Northwest, and our eventing season up here doesn't start till the beginning of May. And so our first two competitions in May have both decided to cancel for the year going forward. So now that puts me as the first competition for our area, for the lion's share of our competitors up here. And typically in our June event, we also run two short formats at the 3- and 2-star levels. And the main purpose of that is to qualify people and help them make their way to Rebecca Farms in July. And so now, not only being on the cusp, but I'm also kind of grappling with is being the first event in my area and running FEI classes really the best thing for our competitors? Are we going to have to maybe get a little creative in the schedule? You know, and the other component I find is I really do feel it's, you know, we are a national sport in that my course designer comes from Virginia, my secretary and one of my main course builders are in Kentucky. I've got Canadians that typically come down to my competition. People from California come up. And, you know, my personal view is I think being on the safer side is better. And having a much clearer picture of maybe an all clear within the states is going to be important for my scenario, for my situation and in running my competition.
Yeah. And on that too, I mean, having one of our concerns and the concerns of our board, and Max is better to speak to it, to this than I am, but making sure that the horses and the riders are prepped and ready to go. Right. So along with what mm-hmm. Jonathan was saying, so that from a safety aspect, I, this is like the beginning of the season all over again. So Max, I mean, I think you've already talked about this before, but
yeah, a little bit. Cause we just, you know, it's interesting. I've talked to obviously a lot of my fellow grooms to see what people are doing and what they're up to. And, you know, some barns have just sort of said, right, well, my horse has had a bit of a spring season, so they're just going to have a little bit of downtime and give them a couple weeks off and then do some light flat work. And then there are other farms that are still galloping and just cracking on. Like if everything lifts tomorrow, they might get to Kentucky. So it's kind of, it's interesting what they're doing. But I think one of the big things is to make sure that, you know, when we do get the green light, that everybody's not racing out to, you know, oh, my horse isn't fit enough. Oh, my horse is this. And oh, I haven't gone cross country schooling. I've got to do this, you know, and people over prepare at the same time. And, you know, sometimes you over prepare because you're under prepared, if that makes sense. And so we got to make sure we're looking after the horse. And like Johnson said, we need at least probably 4 weeks knowing when we're going to get the green light. We need to let people know. So because 4 weeks, I feel like, is a minimum. Even at the big, you know, the novice level for some of the, our novice level, for some people is, you know, for the amateurs is important. They need to get out and get back going again and get their eye sharpened up. Even if it is a 3-foot fence, it's still really critical.
And I think as well, actually, they're not even have been going to any training shows or anything that they might have been doing over the winter.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
So to all of a sudden be thrown in back at the deep end is actually... It's not a, sure, your horse may be fit and you may be ready, raring to go, but actually it's not just as simple as that. And also that brings us back to our other points of your entries have got to open, you've got to get the volunteer structure in place, you've got to have your event ready. I mean, the list is pretty endless. Jonathan, from your perspective, obviously you're an organizer and you sort of have this hat as well in organizing the competitions on behalf of the USEA and being on the board of governors. Has it made you see it any differently from your sort of as an organizer? I mean, it is literally a jigsaw puzzle, isn't it? Of all these little pieces that go together.
Yeah, there's clearly, as you said, there's, you know, many components to putting on a show. And I think every show is different. You know, some shows might have the infrastructure that I don't. I have to bring in almost 300 portable stalls to house everyone on site. That's just kind of how we do it. And that's clearly a large commitment financially to rent those stalls and put them on the ground going forward and prepping for the competitions. Normally my builders would have been here this month to do some work and preps for the June event. And we've had to cancel those as well. Nothing that we couldn't do without it, but it is, perspective-wise, it's tough. There's so many different scenarios, and I take my own experience at my own farm, and I feel like we can make a decision close, but I also try and look at it on the whole. And even some of our small schooling shows that we run typically in February and March and April that have canceled, I kind of went through this once with feeling like I was almost maybe trying to justify a reason to run them or wait on decisions. And then say the first USEF and USEA came out and suspended competitions. It almost gave me cover and a sense of relief that I could just make the decision and cancel my competition, albeit a very small schooling show with, say, 100 or 150 horses. But it was just easier to move on past it.
I totally agree with what you're saying on it, because actually we had it. I was commentating at a horse trials over here, and it was literally the day before. It was middle of March. So it was the day before sort of people were advised against non-essential travel. And it was the most bizarre feeling, because everybody sort of knew it was coming, but it wasn't actually official. So everybody just sort of carried on with what was happening. And everybody was looking at each other going, well, we're doing it and it's all fine. And then the next day, everything was totally different. And you think, well, should we have done it? But actually, because nobody had said don't do it, it just kind of went ahead. And actually, it is that sort of, you know, you want to do what's best for everybody and your competitors, and you want to be able to give them a competition if that is what is right. But actually, sometimes it takes the bigger picture, and whether that be the USDA's position to do it, or whether that actually now has gone on to local government, state, to kind of make those decisions for you, that we have to take their guidance. And ultimately that will take us through to when eventing will eventually come back, and we will come back, and we hope it will be this season. But obviously the main thing is that there are the plans in place, listeners. I hope this gives you confidence, because it certainly hasn't been something that is left to chance. Ultimately, all of the plans are being sort of put in place so that when that green light comes, or even the amber light comes, you know, when sort of things start to be able to move, things can fall into place quite quickly, we hope. Dem, obviously from an equine ratings perspective, it is the same sort of thing, you know, planning but not actually knowing when you're going to be able to get out, and having event contracts for later in the year that you don't know if at this moment in time they're going to happen or not.
Yep, absolutely. Very similar. I think from our point of view, we are absolutely looking at it as a huge opportunity to do an awful lot of things that when you feel absolutely frantically busy during the year, things that you're never able to get to, we have that opportunity now. So that has meant, you know, a lot of, so we've a new website, we have multiple apps coming on stream, we're working with a lot of the federations in terms of how we're improving the data flow, kind of slow, quiet jobs. Sometimes they get pushed to the off season, but very rarely do we get a chance at this time of year to be able to take a breath, albeit a very unexpected one, and say, okay, how can we react? How can we still be a valued client? How can we still bring something to the federations, to the events, to the teams, to the fans? What is it that we can still do at this time? And as a small business, we're in a different position to the federations. You know, we've heard from Jonathan, from Rob, from Max, where there's a huge responsibility there to a much wider group. I mean, from an equine ratings point of view, it's very different. We're lucky in a way. I mean, it's just a different business. We don't have the wider responsibility to members, but we do have a very real responsibility to our clients. And for us, then it's very similar to what the guys have been saying, being ready and ensuring that our clients are ready and ensuring that we're a support to our clients at a time that they need a support is something that we're doing. So yeah, we've been busy. It's all systems go here, and we're lucky that we can all work remotely and that we're used to it. So yeah, it's been a busy time, and we're going strong, Nicole.
Actually, equine ratings have been awesome for us too, because on the background, in addition to trying to plan to get the season up and running, we're still working on safety, and we're still working on fundraising for frangible equipment, and we're still working on all these things in the background. And every time we've approached those guys and asked them for an analysis, a risk assessment to help us better implement rules and policies, they've been right on it. So
and our office too, from the perspective of like our IT shop are probably as busy as they've ever been right now, because they actually have a little bit of a breather. Our membership team are trying to update everyone's records, because, you know, we know that on the backside, if someone shows up at an event and their owners are listing correctly, it's, you know, frustrating. So we're trying to clean up those mid-season when we normally wouldn't be able to. So it's full steam ahead.
I think it's doing all those jobs that, as you both said, kind of get pushed to the back burner a little bit. And actually, Max, that's something I want to finish on, because you wrote a really interesting piece for USEventing.com on, you know, taking this time and spending it wisely, because even without doing the fast work and the jumping, if you're not doing those sorts of things, there's actually a lot you can do at home that will lay really good foundations and stand you in good stead for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's this is a time when we, you know, where everybody's usually really busy. The weather's better. Everybody's riding around the country. You know, obviously us that live in Florida or in Southern California, everybody gets to start early, but the weather's getting better everywhere. So everybody's got this time now where they're back on their horses and doing their things. And why not take this time to really practice a lot of the basics, get the bits worked out that you maybe you've been struggling with, whether it's a square halt or if it's a transition or if it's staying straight or whatever. There's so much to do. It was interesting. I was lucky enough to work for Mike Plum in the mid-90s, and he has written a couple of funny little pieces, and this is something he's always been very he's always been so critical of, is just the simple basics of those types of things, of going, of, you know, being able to do something so simple over and over again that we take for granted a lot of times, or sometimes don't get it done. And that little piece of the puzzle ends up biting us in the butt as we're trying to go up the levels. So it's, you know, let's use this, you know, use our powers for good instead of evil type of idea, where we can actually use this time to get all those bits done, and, you know, do things like that. We've been, you know, my other half's a show jumper, and his season was going to end a week later anyway, but even still, the farm right now, they're, you know, power washing the trailers, they're going through all the, you know, old blankets and throwing stuff away and donating them, and just taking the time to really do the useful things that we always seem to be too busy to do, because right now we're not.
Yeah, absolutely. No excuses. And I think it would be quite cathartic as well, because it's a time that actually things like that could make us feel quite a lot better, and kind of help from that perspective also. It has been an absolute joy to have you all on the show. Some really, really interesting points. I so wish we had a crystal ball and we could tell everybody when eventing is going to start up again. I know. I so wish we do. I did a question and answer with a rider the other day, and one of the questions that came in was, what date will eventing start again? She was like, I wish I knew. Like, if I could tell you, I absolutely would. But rest assured, listeners, the plans are in place and everybody is working tirelessly to make sure that when we can get started again, it will be as quickly as possible, but as safely as possible as well. And we absolutely can't forget that bit. So look after yourselves, everybody. Stay safe. Listen back to USEA official podcast. We had the great sports psychology episode with Daniel Stewart, so you can get your mindset ready to go for when we do get back up and running. And we'll have some really useful episodes coming up for you as well, including one on rider fitness, which might give you a little something to work on while we've got a bit of downtime as well. But Jonathan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Good luck. And particularly, not only it's a big job getting everything back up and running, but also with your event as well. And fingers crossed, it is possible for you to go ahead, and we'll be thinking of you over the next few weeks too.
Yes, thank you. No, it's fingers crossed it can come together and work. And like we all say, time will tell. We just got to wait and see how everything progresses. But we'll all get back to it soon enough, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Rob, take care. Look after yourself at home. Yeah. Enjoy homeschooling your children when you get a chance, or they'll be schooling you, one or the other.
One or the other. And happy Easter and happy Passover, or whatever you may celebrate, everybody.
Thank you. Max, take care. And Derm as well, I will speak to you no doubt very shortly, but look after yourself in Ireland too.
Thank you, Nicole.
And listeners, we hope you've enjoyed it. Rest assured, you're in very safe hands, and we hope that we'll be back up and running very soon, but we will be keeping you up to date here and entertained, we hope, on the USCA official podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to get in touch at US Eventing. Send in any podcast requests that you have as well, podcast@useventing.com. And tag us on social media. If you're out there listening, tag us in your stories on Instagram, tag us on Facebook. We would love to see how you listen. And we'll be back very soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.